Good morning, beautiful people. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique, and thank you guys for tuning in. On this season of the Highly Melanated Podcast Show, I will be talking about motherhood. Yes, you heard that right, motherhood, because I am not a mother. I am not a mom. I'm Bakari's ma. But I'm a mama with some flair, okay? Non-traditional mama, I like to call it. So this season is motherhood. And y'all gonna learn about motherhood just as much as I know. I'm gonna give you my perspective as a black mother of a toddler, as a mom with a partner, as a mom who is still trying to find her way as a woman, as a daughter, as a sister, while still trying to be a sexy ass milf. Boom. Happy Friday, man. Got the weekend turned up. Some people on vacation, I am one of those people. However, the way my new position is set up, I had to use a vacation day to take care of some of my clients, so I'm gonna spend my Friday at work. But then after the last client, your girl is free, you know, and I don't go back to work till the 7th. So if any family members listen, to hell no, I cannot take you nowhere. But your girl is gonna be out here. I don't know what I'm doing, because I need to get our bedroom in order. We need to buy a new bed. I need to get some paint. So I'll probably be in the house doing mom shit. But that's pretty cool, because I'm learning that I really like doing I keep saying I feel like that's I don't know how to do that. One thing I'm learning about being a mom is that I'm really into decorating. At first I was like, it's not really my thing. When I had my own apartment by myself, even before Ayub and I moved in together, it was more like a free spirit apartment, I guess. I didn't have couches and all that shit. Like, I didn't get couches until Ayub and I got together. And I think we were together for like a year before we even brought furniture. When I lived by myself, I had a bed. And my neighbor, he gave me the frame. I live like whatever. I had the same TV since like fucking 2011. I had my cable. I was good. My aunt gave me a wooden kitchen set. Like, my family always take care of me. Like, they always make sure I'm Gucci. So, you know, whatever they gave me, I took. Like, crock pot. My mom brought me a electric griddle cooker, and I used to call it the hibachiachi, because I used to make everything on that shit, and really thinking I was like a chef. Like, you know how the hibachi chef with the knives. Like, that's how I was, seriously. Like, I never realized how much, you know, well, I will say this, motherhood, it definitely makes you reflect a lot. And I thought about that. I was like, yo, you really were just a free spirit. Like, I really was. Yeah, I did not care. Like, my apartment was cute and little, you know, because it was just me at first. And I had this big-ass wooden mirror from Walmart, and that was my selfie mirror. But I just lived regular. But now that I have a kid, like, I care. I did his room for Christmas. He has a Cars themed room. And because my baby loved like Hot Wheels, like he loved trucks, like, so that's what I'm gonna do with his room. Make it look real nice, make it look real boy like for him. And the living room, we have couches that requires pillows. And so for the longest we just had the pillows, you know, for your back that comes with the couch. And I kept looking at my couch and I'm like, yeah, it's time to be like more motherly, more domesticated, more homely, I guess. So when we went Christmas shopping for Bakari, I got some throw pillows, some real cute decorative throw pillows, and I had to make sure it had some Tasha Flair on it. I got one that's like look like dog fur, and it has it's white, and then it has like gold sprinkle shit in it. Like I don't know. It looks like what you know things. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm about to tell y'all what, and then y'all gonna figure it out too. It's, you know how, I just said, you know, I like three times. the sickles that they, for Christmas, the things that you throw around, like, it looks like icicles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's what I have on the damn pillow in gold. I just did so much. But, yeah, I definitely, started doing way more with getting this house in order. And, so I'm gonna spend... I just went so left with explaining to y'all how much y'all like it for this school. I was walking y'all through the evolution of becoming a mama. But, yeah, so I'm going to work on my room on vacation and get this self-care in order. Because I always feel like, you know, what I'm learning is that I need to have peace in my home, too. You don't have to just go on vacation, or you don't have to go out and spend money, you know, in order for, you know, your self-care. Now, I encourage you going out as much as you can when you can and not having to spend an arm and a leg. I'm all for it because you don't want to be in the house all the time. However, you know, still make your home, you know, your peace, your zen. You know, when you come home, you're supposed to be able to lay everything down. You know, everything, like seriously, you're supposed to be able to just relax. And so I'm working on creating a space in my home, or making my home, allow me, work with me, y'all. Sometimes I get so excited when I'm talking, and I'll start like and I have to remind myself to take a deep breath. Relax yourself. I'm really a person who is like so jittery all the time, like always, like so like like just live, baby. But I be having to remind myself, like, it's okay, you can bring it down some. But yeah, I want to create a space that is soothing, you know, even to guests. We live in a big ass house, and we're on the third floor of our house that we share with family, and our house is, our section of the house, our apartment is like peace for all the little cousins that are much younger than us, which is funny because Ayub and I, we're 10 years apart, and we're older than a lot of our cousins. Ayub is an elder, I'm an elder, and everybody just always like gravitate to us, you know, and it's funny because he's that person for his family, and I'm that person for his family now as well, and I was that person for my family, and then when he came in, because he has that same energy and that same spirit, he is the same way with my family. So I started to create a space not only for us to feel comfortable and relaxed, but for family and friends to feel just equally as welcomed and, you know, relaxed, like chill, talk to us. We are those, we are that couple. Like, it's funny because even though we got our shit with us, I don't love that ugly part of us, but we're working through it. But it's just really interesting that, you know, we go through a lot of tough shit, man. A lot of tough shit we're working through. But then it's like when people come in our space, they still feel so comfortable. And we do such a good job at not pretending, but actually being a team. Because it's relationships. I don't even want to start and be cliche and say relationships are not perfect, but that's just the reality of it. And you have to be real with yourself, you know. And I feel like social media or influence people not to be real, because you feel like you have to be, you got to be like the people that you see on social media. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, I have friends that are getting married. I have family members that are newly engaged. I have a brother that's married. And I don't want their life. I do not want their life. Do I want to be married? Absolutely. Yes, I want to be married. But not right now. And even when I do get married, it'll probably just be me, him, the baby, a witness. And we're going to get married to the justice of peace. And I know I'm going to have some bomb-ass, eccentric, Khalees, Erykah Badu, Janelle Monáe type of outfit on. And he gonna be simple because he don't care about stuff like that. And Bukari going to be decked out. And the most we'll probably do is because we're so family. We're so family. Like, seriously, no matter how much... How many beatings we take from our family for being who we are, even though we're very respected, it's still like a, because we go against the grain just a little bit by being our peaceful, unique selves. So, but because we still love them, because we have a deeper understanding of their actions, I still want us to have like a big ass picnic somewhere where everybody just, it ain't no tables and all of that shit. Like, I want blankets out. And I want everybody to just be chilling. You know, food will probably be catered. You know, that's probably be the most that we'll spend. Because weddings are a lot. And I've seen it up close. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And we got to be real with ourselves. Like, listen, to each his own. Maybe you got a whole budget set for that. But I know for me, I'd rather people spend their own money on traveling. And, you know, doing fun shit. Because weddings are expensive as fuck. And for me personally, I feel like we're not even there yet to even think about that. You know, I've always been the type of female who, once we together for life. I don't know if I ever shared this story with y'all. I probably did on the first season, on an episode of Finding Me at 33. When I was talking about how, you know, when I first had sex, I was 13. And I thought that you were supposed to meet with that person for life. And I still have that mentality. Like, even though the world got to me just a little bit, you know, I'm not as tainted as I thought I was. I still believe in monogamy, but obviously, I said I'm a free spirit. So monogamy with a twist, you know, I'm all for doing everything with your partner, enjoying everything, you know, with your partner. I feel like I can be with one person and we could ride out. As long as we into each other's shit, we good. You know, I love the line when Kanye West said in No Church in the Wild, when he said, love is cursed by monogamy. What I interpreted from that was that because religion has taught us to just be with this person. Like, don't if you do orgies, you do threesomes, if you do any of those things, that's wrong. You know, if you cheat, that is fucked up. But I feel like love is cursed by monogamy. I feel like sometimes people cheat because they can't be themselves. You know, I know for me with religion, I thought I had to be perfect. And in my family, I was portrayed as the perfect one. I was the poster child for my family. You know, I was one of the ones that went to college, one of the first ones that went to college. You know, I had like elders that went, but it wasn't, most of them went to like the services. I probably had one cousin I could remember that I know for a fact that went to college and she pledged, she's a Delta. So, you know, in my family, like, you know how it is in a lot of black families, you know, especially back then, like, you ain't have too many that went off to college. And I know for me going, that was a big thing. And if you listen to my episode titled Porcelain Doll, and all throughout these episodes, I always talk about how perfect I had to be, you know, for my family. And so because of that, I forgot my point, but I'm just going to keep talking. I'll figure it out. I still got some good juicy content. Because of that, you know, it kind of made me, what word do I want to use? It, coming from a family, what was I saying to y'all? Shit, I'm telling you, like, this is why sometimes I need another person, because I don't even want to stop this recording and go back and try to figure out what the fuck I was just talking about and then jump back in. Like, I don't want to do that. But I do realize why it is freaking, like, important sometimes to, like, have notes, or even it's cool to have a co-host. But listen, I'm a one-woman show. Anyway. Religion will make you afraid. It will make you worry. It will tell you to not question, you know. And so I know, growing up the way that I did, I was taught to be so perfect, but I wasn't at all. Like, I really, like, in front of my family, I was this come to me about everything, this little wise owl. But behind closed doors, I was out here doing whatever the fuck I wanted to do. I was out here fucking. That's what I was doing. And I was fucking whoever I wanted to. I was. Like, this podcast is not for the squeamish. And I keep telling you, I'm not a mommy. I'm a mother. I'm real. That's the only way I can heal, is by being real and allowing other mothers to come in my world so you can feel safe. This is a safe space for you. So if you was that mother, shit, if you are that mother, it's all right. Just be safe. But live your motherfucking life. And growing up the way I did, like, I couldn't live because I wanted to be free. I wanted to be just wild. Like, let me do that. You know, and I understand my mother, she tried, but, you know, they tried to keep me boxed in, and you couldn't. You can't let somebody, I raised myself, basically. You can't let somebody raise themselves and then try to reel them back in with religion, reel them back in to be, no, it's too late. I'm already, listen, I got this. But still, I don't know if it was religion or just the core of who I am. I still wanted to be with one person. Now, I wasn't really, really, truly, truly, truly a free spirit the way I am now back then, because, again, I still was heavily influenced by religion. And, you know, I was living a double life because of that. And so now, while I could be free, I just be free. I be free. I be myself. And it does not make me a bad person. It does not make me a bad mother. I don't want my son to be raised like how I was. I want him to have a question every fucking thing, baby. Dissect it till you cannot dissect it anymore. I want you to vibrate so high because you question everything. I want you to think on such a deeper level because you question everything. Because I was taught not to. And it drove me crazy. It made me a easy target for people who are street. Because I have friends who fucked up people. I was in relationships with fucked up men and women sometimes. And I was like a slave in my own mind. Like, I couldn't break free from the dysfunction. And it ain't, and I don't even think it's just a religion. It's just because when you raised like that, you know, that's how you are. Old habits are hard. Especially when you don't even fucking know it's a problem. It just becomes ritual, routine. Me having sex at the age of 13 was a shocker for people in my family. My mom just put me on punishment. My cousins still thought I was a virgin. And they were. I think some of my cousins didn't have sex probably like 15, 16, some of them. But I was already fucking. Now, I thought I was only supposed to meet with that one person. at that time. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. So, I stuck around for a little bit, but it wasn't nothing to write home about at all. I just thought that I was supposed to do that. And thinking back, I really have to say to myself, I'm so proud of the woman that I am growing into, that I am healing. Because I feel better. You know, I used to not want to be so honest. And I really, when my mom came to visit for Christmas, I seen where I got it from. Like, my family is like, first of all, a lot of us are like, we're fair skinned. And we have the tendency to be very culty. We're always with each other. And because we're always with each other, we can be socially awkward around the people because everybody, you know, I'll say we're socially awkward because we haven't had enough experience with being around the people. Now, me personally, myself and one cousin, who is like my absolute fave, and my brother, we were able to kind of venture out, you know, and because I think it's also because of the schools we went to, we were able to meet different people and also develop friendships with the same people and have these same friends for a very, very, very long time. And not to say that my cousins don't have that either, but because we had those friends from that we went to school with that were diverse, we got to branch out and go to different birthday parties and just meet different people and travel more and just get away just a little bit. But I feel like it's still, because that's your lineage, it's who you are. I still feel like, you know, we're just like our family. We're just like them. I just was the one who, I would say I was the Lisa Bonet of the family, always. Even though they got me and I was just as brainwashed, I'm still gonna be me. It's in here. That's why I like sci-fi movies when just psychological thrillers. Like when you see like people so conflicted within themselves. And that core of who they really are. Like, let's say, for example, let me use it. I can't think of any movies offhand, but let me just give you, like, a specific type of, like, a scenario where, like, it's, like, darkness trying to take over them, you know? And they're, like, fighting to, like, be who their core self is. But it's, like, that darkness is, like, it's just trying to take over, you know? And I feel like that was me. Like, but with the darkness, it was more like, being a slave. That darkness to me was slavery. With like being in my family and being programmed and being brainwashed to be complacent. And yeah, just complacent. And because I guess I could use that word and say that it covers so many things. You know, like not wanting, they're not big on like traveling or making many friends. My mother and her sisters, like, they're each other's besties. Like, now don't get me wrong, my aunts, my two younger aunts, or actually my three aunts, they have their own friends. My mom seems to be the one who don't be beat. Like, she don't, which is, she need to work on that because you need friends. I love you, mama, but you need friends. You do. It can't just be me and your sisters. You can't do that. You got to break about that shell, mama. Come about that shell. Don't be scared, baby. See, my aunts, they got their own friends, but then my mother and them, they're very close. They're very close. And I love that because I never realized that, you know, my mom does have something I don't have. She has sisters. I have sisters, but I don't have that relationship with my sister. And my younger sisters, the other three, they're 8, 7, and 2. What are we going to talk about? They don't even know me. My father's second set of kids, they young. They don't know us. They didn't grow up how we grew up. It's different. He got to change your life, kid. That nigga old. My siblings do not know me. Now, my little brother, who I believe is like 5, he gravitates to me more, which is why I'm like, I got to make it my business to go get my little brother. Let him come over here and play with my son. And, you know, because, again, just being who I am and then knowing, like, this is my role in life. Like, don't know. Because even though I'm in a space where I don't be beat for my family, and that's just some real shit, because I need to heal, I still, as an elder, as a person who's healing and growing, I still feel like I want to show y'all that, you know, you don't have to be a grudge holder, because it's another thing with religion. Like, even though turn the other cheek is what I was taught. No, I'll say this. Because we were taught to always turn the other cheek, we hold stuff in and we harbor things and we're resentful. And I see that a lot in my family. Like, we'll talk about the same shit over and over. And being around other families, I was like, oh, so what we doing, that's not really. And don't get me wrong, I know other families got their shit. But, you know, when I saw how other families be real and be honest with each other, like, are you family? They honest with each other. They go off on each other in New York minute. As you should. My family, whenever I would black out, like, I would get in trouble for speaking up about something that was wrong. My grandmother and them, like, that's how culty, like, thinking about it as I'm explaining it to y'all, like, I never thought about how weird I looked going against the grain. Like, it looked like like my family was in this utopian world and they only seen it black and white, and here I am as color, and I'm like, this shit is busted, this shit is, I'm not feeling this. And it was just like, I would get that look like, you're going against the greater good. But hey, whatever. These are my thoughts, man, at 4:52 in the morning. It really is. But going back to my point about building a safe space in my home, I feel like it's important, man. And that's why I can be so creative with my podcast, because I made sure that the space that I do it in, you know, it's reminding me of why I'm doing this. You know, I have little stickies that I always have to write something, you know. And I got it from watching Being Mary Jane. When I first seen it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I will write quotes. And the quotes will resonate me at that moment. But now that I'm healing, I really truly understand a lot of those quotes that I will write. Because I just think on a deeper level now. I'll read one of my stickies to you guys. One of them says, you can't know him if you don't know you. And that's what I have to constantly remind myself when I feel myself trying to do too much to please IU. I gotta come first. I gotta be the healthy adult. I gotta be the healthy mother, the healthy woman. Like, I gotta work on me first before I can be anything to him. Because I have to, you always have to prepare yourself to be alone, period. Anything can happen. I mean, he could transition. Anything can happen. You know, I mean, granted, that's different, but you still, that's extreme, but you still have to know how to take care of you. And when you become a mother, sometimes you forget that, you know, because you are the captain. You know, everything runs through you. And although IU is a hands-on dad, I'm the fucking captain. And I am humbly saying that. I'm not even saying that with arrogance. It's just, I know that as a mother, it's just, that's why I'm the mother and he's the father. That's it. Another one is, often it isn't the trauma that creates seemingly insurmountable pain, but the lack of support after. The reason why I love that quote so much, and let me read it again, because I had to, like, as I was reading it to y'all, I was reading it to myself. Often, it isn't the trauma that creates seemingly insurmountable pain, but the lack of support after. I know all too well what that feels like, to go through things and not have anybody support. Whether it be because they thought I was exaggerating, or because they didn't know how. Maybe they went through the same thing and felt like, oh, that's cool, suck it up. I deal with that a lot with my partner. We argue a lot about him being very insensitive to my needs. And because of his circumstances, for a very long time, he didn't know how to be with a woman, especially as far as, it's a gap in between our age. You know, I am 34, I'll be 34. So I'm 33, he's 43. He didn't know how to, he came home to something totally different. When he met me, he was like, wow, okay, this is, okay, she different. It was this, that perception I told you guys about. Back then I was doing vlogs and, but behind closed doors, I still was doing me, living my fucking life. And so, him being new to technology, because he was not here for a very long time. And so, you know, him coming home and learning about technology, and he's like, you know, who's this girl? And I'm talking hot shit, you know. I was trying to be a trendsetter, trying to start this whole vlog wave in the black community. Kind of mad at myself for not being consistent, but whatever. Now how you start, how you finish. But anyway, he sees me and he's like, oh shit, okay. And we bump into each other at a party. Actually, it wasn't like a party like that type of party. It was an end of year celebration for our students in the department I used to work for back in the day. Well, a few months ago. And so he came with his cousin who had a child in the program. And so, you know, we're used to this in social, with social media. Like, we'll see somebody. And we, you know, I won't even say we're used to it. We'll, even us who been home and been taken away from society, we'll be like, oh shit, is that such and such? We do it. So can you imagine for him not being here for so long and seeing that? So he see me, he like, is that her? And mind you, like, I like telling this story because I love my black man. So everybody was looking at him. I seen him, like, because I'm, you know, I'm cool like that. You know, I was raised by my father, so I'm a whole dude. So I already seen him. I knew exactly who he was, but I just kept on dancing with the kids, kept on being Miss Tasha, kept on watching the kids, having a good time, because I was dead. I was a hands-on coordinator. Like, I could dance with the kids could teach me how to dance, I could teach them how to dance. I was that nigga, okay? That's how I ran my program. But anyway, so I see him, and I see all the females looking like, goddamn, because this man was built like a god. And he had long locks in his hair back then. His muscles were so big. And I just was looking at him like, oh, I know he could scoop me. But I seen him. And I'm just like, oh, look at him. Mm-mm-mm. But when you have somebody who has been stripped away, humiliated for so many years, you know, I can't expect for him to be sensitive to a lot of the things that I went through, because to him, he like, bruh, do you know where I spent 20 years of my life and you can't get over this? He doesn't know how to empathize in that sense. He don't know how to. So a lot of times when I am in a funk and I'm just in a room somewhere balled up, he only know how to say, hey, come on, pull yourself together. He don't know how to, like, hug me and say it's going to be okay. He don't always know how to do that. That's his way of saying it's going to be okay. But it is frustrating and it's lonely sometimes when you're going through something and you don't have nobody to, you know. And I can't be upset with him too much because our worlds are just different when it comes to a lot of things. We just learn how to make it work because we're still compatible. But relationships take time, you know. I don't feel like we're to a point where it's like, all right, this is not gonna work. I feel like when you have kids, it shakes shit up, because all we did was party and bullshit for a very long time. Like, we did, you know, Bakari didn't come like in the beginning of our relationship. Like, he came, you know, what we were trying to figure out if we still wanted to be with each other, but also he came when we was just like shit living. He hadn't experienced so many things in life, and I had, and I was trying to show him. So to have this baby, you know, it's a lot, you know, and because now it's like the attention's on the baby. And y'all want to know some crazy shit? Ayub is like, because he missed seeing his children grow the way he should have seen them grow. He should have been present, is what I should say. Because he wasn't able to be physically present to see that development, he is super hands-on with our son. And sometimes he forgets, like, I'm his mom. Sometimes he forget about me. I could be talking about myself and having a day. Y'all know how we are, females. We're very emotional. And so I could be talking about the type of day I had. And, you know, Bakari could be doing something, you know, being a kid. And I see Bakari out my mom eye, but I'm also talking to dad because, hey, I want to talk about my feelings. But because he's so invested in his son because he missed out, he don't hear me. He be like, you see what Bakari just did? And I'm like, yeah, I seen it. Like, he does it all the time. Listen to me. He can't. Not right now. I'll say he don't. What I'll say is, it's not that he don't. He just, it's not enough. I'll say maybe he listened to me 20% of the time. Emotionally, he's not available right now in that area. And it's just something that we're working through. And it's funny because when I said that, I felt that peace saying that to y'all. But just a little bit of fear was like, damn, that was real honest. But I feel like you should be honest. You know, I always think about Beyonce's album, Lemonade, and a whole bunch of her albums, because I feel like she was telling us, like, this nigga cheating on me, but I love him. This man is hurting me, but I love him. This man is stripping me away of everything, but I still love him. And she had to remind herself, like, bitch, you Beyonce. She had to remind herself. And then I'm pretty sure she had to study some more and really her essence of a black woman. I don't need white America to make me feel good. I need my man to understand who the fuck I am. What she said? Who the fuck you? Who the fuck do you think I is? Okay? Listen. We forget who we are. Because motherhood, it strips you of everything. It does. It's like when your baby is being born, so are you. And I am learning that, you know, I'm learning, like, you really got to be everything to yourself, because this man is not capable. Right now, he's really not capable of being what you need him to be. So you will have to be there for yourself. I'm grateful that he is amazing with our son. I know it's going to take some time to get him to be there like I need him to for me. It's funny because I know usually it's the moms who start to it's the moms who are not as attentive to dad's needs because she's so focused on baby. With ours, it's like, it's a little reverse, you know. I guess for me, I just learned how to find, you know, I'm learning balance. You know, I'm learning, all right, this is me and Bakari time, and then this is our time. You know, he's with our time, but our time, I've been wanting to do different stuff from him. His version of our time is like, he want to watch, like, Marvel comics and all that shit, because part of him is still a young man. I'm a grown-ass woman sometimes, and sometimes this mother, I want to get right. Like, the baby is in the room, you know, he watches Boss Baby playing with his toys. Like, let's get right. Let's do it. Let's do it. He want to. He want to watch Marvel comics on TV, and I want to kick that TV down every time. So, when he do that, I just go, okay, I'm going to be my own best friend. I'm going to be my own lover, and I go handle my business. It is what it is. Shit. I feel that masturbation is good for the soul. I feel like even if women didn't have a man, if you just masturbated, we all need a warm body, but not just anybody. If you masturbated, or whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever tool, you know, you use, or your hands, whatever, that release, you'll be all right. I would suggest using coconut oil as a lubricant if you need to. Just saying. It works. I like it. And it's healthy. You need a healthy vagina. You gotta take care of yourself, man. Sometimes it's gonna boil down to that, moms. Like, that's why I didn't have no problem sharing that with y'all. Because we gotta be real, man. If this is gonna be a space of breaking generational curses, be real. I didn't know my grandfather was a piece of crap until I became a grown woman. Like, this perception that he was so perfect. But that man was a cheater. He did shit. But because of the way I was raised with this not questioning shit, I didn't know that. It was a lot of things I feel like, damn it, y'all would have, my life probably would have been a little different if I would have questioned shit. I probably would have been bullied less if I wasn't taught the fucking turn of the cheek. You should have been letting me put niggas out, mom, left and right, every time. Like, no, seriously. I'm not for violence because I think all black people need to love one another. But what I am learning is, like, a lot of black people, some black people, they are impossible when it comes to certain shit because they're unhealthy adult. They're not healed yet. They're not. So even though I'm all for, you know, we shouldn't do shit to each other, we should love one another. Sometimes some people need it. They need it. And not to take them out, but to let them know, like, listen, you got me fucked up. And growing up, I was not taught to do that. I wasn't. I really wasn't, man. But I am now. And I don't be taking no shit no more. I'm big on protecting my energy, man. Because I allow so much to allow so many people and just to infiltrate, to just come all up in my shit and crowd me so much to I shrunk up into a little ball and had a nervous breakdown. I really lost my mind. I had to get low. I'm still low. Now, seriously, I don't play that shit. I barely come out of my castle, man. I'm serious. Like, when I do come out, it's to do shit with my son. You know, it's to go to the gym. It's to do stuff for myself. If I can get my partner to come out, we out. He not a big being out person because, I don't know, he got his own shit with him, but I'm big on personal space, man. For so long, people just was in my space. I don't like it. Even to my friends, like, they take it personal. And I had to explain to them, take it personal. You used to me being a life of the party. I don't want to be a life of the party right now. Only party I want to have is with my son. I just recently got a mic. We got a speaker. I want to have karaoke with my baby. That's what I want to do. I want to be a mother. I really want to enjoy being a mother. I want to enjoy doing podcasts. Like, I feel like a lot of times this is what I start to say to myself to make me feel better. Like, I say I'll go Kanye on certain podcasts, but I also like to think that I'm the Mary J. Blige of podcasts. Sometimes my episodes be real, like, dark and deep. Not deep, it be coming from a place of sadness, of hurt and pain. For me to admit to you guys that my partner is not emotionally available to me all the time, that took a lot out of me. But that's realness. We gotta be real. When you are real, you're free. When you know yourself, you're free. This is the type of reality TV we need to see. Motherfuckers being real. All men don't cheat like that. I'm gonna tell y'all some real shit. I'm being so real with y'all in this episode. You know what my partner said to me? I don't wanna cheat. I don't have to cheat. I could have been cheated. I don't feel the need to do that. Why cheat when we could do it together? And at first, because, you know, I wasn't comfortable with my skin. You know, I have a lot of self-esteem issues. And because I was raised in a religious household, even though I did my own shit, I still was raised like, you're only supposed to be just y'all two. You know, even though my father showed me really just fucked up images of just shit that I should have never seen as a kid growing up. Like, my dad was just wow. That's probably why I'm so conflicted, because I had a dad who was just a womanizer. He was a cheater. And then I had this mother who was, from what I only seen my mom with my stepfather, and well, my dad and my stepfather, that's it. So it was like I was stuck in the middle. You know, my dad exposing me to sex at such a young age because he had porn, you know, and so seeing all of that shit at a young age, but then still being like, you know, in a house that, you know, my mom made us close our eyes when, like, for example, when Doing It came on with LL Cool J, my mother made us close our fucking eyes. You do not know how happy I was when my mother would leave and go grocery shopping and leave me by my motherfucking self. Just so I can finally see this goddamn video. My mother was such a religious prude. And then you had my dad, who just was like, freak, nasty. That nigga ain't care. He was Uncle Luke. Uncle anything that was creepy. I don't know. That was probably bad to say. It was too goddamn. It was a lot. My dad was a womanizer. Like, he obviously was a wounded narcissistic child who just felt like he had to just drop the hammer and everybody. I don't know. But, you know, for somebody like me, it was hard because I was like, I only want to do my dirt on my own. I don't know how to do dirt with my partner. Like, you know, but I learned how I was able to detach myself from the type of men I was messing with. Like, I could mess with a dude and I'll see them next day and act like nothing ever happened, you know, because I grew up around my father. I seen it all the time. I used to wait for the women to come out of his room and I'd be sitting on the couch eating a big ass bowl of cereal. Like, good morning. I was waiting for them. Come on. Walk the line. I was exposed to a lot of shit as a kid. So I ain't have feelings when it came to a lot of things, but when I love somebody, whether it was a little girl in me who needed that love from her father, who needed that acceptance from a man, like, all of that made me, if I fucked with you, I fuck with you, and that's it. So when he wanted me to open my world to something like that I was not used to, and I never, no matter how I was back in the day, like, no matter, I was out here doing my own fucking thing, I was never in a threesome. You know, and when dudes would ask me that, I felt disrespected because I felt like you think that I'm not enough. You know, I wasn't thinking of it on a deeper level, on a open level. I was thinking like, you don't think I'm pretty enough. You don't think my butt big enough. You don't think I'm shit. So you don't want to take it there. I mean, you want to take it there because of that. But my partner and I was able to create a space where we were able to be honest and open with each other. And I feel like that's the space that we're in right now. So even if we're not emotionally, or he's not emotionally available right now, it's okay. Because we figure out how to make it work. We find our balance the best way we know how. Because your relationship is going to go through shifts. It's going to go through stages. It's just going to happen. Because think about it. We change every day, you know? So why would your relationship be the same? It's just something to think about. I'm so excited for this episode. I'm like, I cannot wait to post this. Like, the reactions, like, I'm waiting for them. Like, you gotta get uncomfortable. And that's why anything that I watch that is so thought-provoking, I respect it. I respect it. Because you gotta push the envelope. You gotta make motherfuckers bend. Think. Come on, think. You gotta think on a deeper level. You gotta be more open, be more free with yourself. Be honest with yourself. I was so honest with y'all. I just straight told y'all throughout this whole episode, a bitch is both-handed. I'm both-handed. Clearly, I have a man. And I like females too, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not talking about what the world has been doing with shoving it down your throat, because they doing too much. They doing too much. And y'all, and if you fuck with me on a deeper level, if you know me personally, you know I'm all for be free, be you. This fucking, I love Big Freedia shit. But I still feel like it's something going on. But we not going to even, it's not even that type of episode. But all I'm saying is, be honest with yourself, you know. Get uncomfortable with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror, right? This is what I do. I always struggled with my body. I always felt like my butt wasn't big enough. Because I'm black, I'm supposed to have a fat butt. But, I mean, I guess maybe because I'm light-skinned and, you know, maybe that part of me, I got that the white, that part. The flat butt, just boom. I'm black everywhere else. I'm a fucking flat. Is that right? Listen, I've been in the gym. I've been being serious. But I was always so uncomfortable with my body. And no, that's not true. No, I was uncomfortable. I would say I was uncomfortable. But when I was comfortable, listen. Tell you something. I was comfortable. But after having a baby, you know, your body changes. Some people, they snap back. Fuck them. But for some of us, you know, we regular body ass mothers now. And so I know for me, I had an emergency C-section because the cord was wrapped around my baby neck. And so they had to cut me open and I had ab separation. And so now, even though I'm losing weight, I still got that, like, the ab separation on my stomach still look like I'm pregnant a little bit, like a little bump. And now my stomach is flat, but it's still that lower part that's like, but I'm still working out and being consistent. But I like to go in the bathroom right before I get in the shower, and I'll just play music. It'll be Meg Thee Stallion, Wale, anything that has to do with twerking, because Wale got Meg Thee Stallion, that song, Pole Dancer, that's what I was thinking about. But any song that make me feel sexy, I dance in the mirror, excuse me, whether I'm naked or sometimes I have on a big sweatshirt because I love big clothes. I have on a big sweatshirt and like just my legs and stuff is out, and I'll be twerking. I got a big ass mirror in my bathroom. I'll be facing the front mirror, you know, the mirror that, you know, that come with the house. And then there's a big ass glass mirror in there. So I'm looking in the front and then I'm looking at the side, checking out my twerking skills. And that's what I do. I'll go for at least a whole hour in there dancing. Because it's exercising and it's also a spiritual cleansing for me. I grew up dancing. I love dancing. But it's also my safe space of feeling sexy and feeling comfortable and not needing validation from my partner or nobody. And I listen, I be practicing. And also I practice because just in case I go to the club and them young bitches try it, I want them to know, but I still got it. I'm going to be sore the next day, probably for 2 or 3 days. I'm going to ice these motherfucking knees. But I'm still bad with y'all bitches. Because I'm a mother. But yes. You gotta love on yourself, mamas. You have to. You have to, man. Self-care is just, it's so important. You know, especially for a black woman, man. For a black mother. I just feel like the weight, it's just so heavy. It's so much that we deal with. You gotta feel pretty, man. You gotta feel pretty. You gotta be emotionally available to your damn self. So, that's what the hell I do. You gotta take time out to be still. Just be in that moment. Get out your head, relax, and just think about you. Look at your body. Touch your body. Look at yourself. Say to yourself, I'm pretty. Rub every stretch mark. I always look at my C-section scar and I be like, huh, because when I have on this motherfucking bathing suit in the summertime, baby, shit. You gotta do the work. You gotta do the work. That is the answer to happiness. That's the answer to peace. You gotta constantly do the healing work. You have to. That's how you find your peace. Every day, even if it's reading, even if you're journaling, just think about, for me, with my anxiety, it came from not being allowed to speak up. So because I didn't defend myself from anybody, really, is what it felt like after a while with like my words, that words, you know, like I stopped because that religion shit, I stopped. So all that stuff started to eat at me. You got to let that out. You got to let it out. You have to let it out. Whether it's checking motherfuckers or writing those feelings out, like, you know, both. Do both. Journal. You gotta let that shit, if you let that shit stay in you, you will go crazy. You gotta speak it out. You gotta speak it out into the universe. Even if you do, this is my podcast. This is me journaling. Me being so honest with y'all, this is me writing in my journal. It's a way you can do it where you're not being messy. You know, I mean, I'm telling y'all my business, but I'm not telling y'all my business. But yes, journal, man. You got to release your thoughts, no matter what it is. But always make sure you find a silver lining. You find some positivity in it. You have to. Because a lot of times we are so focused on the negative that we forget, but I'm still breathing, but I'm still here, but I survive. I'm going to let y'all into my world. Some chapters, yes, y'all are welcome to read. Because I want you to know that no matter what, that resiliency of a black person, that shit is ingrained in us. Because no matter what I went through, I'm still fucking here. I'm still here. And there were times I did not want to be here. The suicide rate for African Americans is at an alarming high. And I would like to think, because a lot of motherfuckers are just tired. You feel like, when do I get a break? When do I find peace? Then look at the fucking administration. He should have never been a president for you to have to impeach him. Come on. This world is fucked up. You gotta get your village together. You gotta get your army together. You gotta get your self-care in order. Because even when the world tell you you're not pretty, you are pretty. And the world may make you feel afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Shit, get pepper spray. I got pepper spray. I got a taser. That's my self-care. Because I'm going to taser shit out you if you think you're going to grab me. That's me protecting my space. Or you going to get sprayed in the eyeballs and kicked in the nuts. And stomped out. All that. Fight back. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. That was about to get real militant. My bad. Keep trying to tell y'all what type of partner I got. Anyway. Let's bring it down some. Let's end this episode a little less Lord, y'all, I'm sorry. Listen, this is who I am, though. This is my self-care. This is me tapping into every person that I am. That's why I respect people, and that's why I respect fashion so much, because I'll say this. I respect Erykah Badu fashion. I respect Chris Brown. Like, Rihanna, I respect people who, however they feeling, that's what they rocking. I love it. I respect it so much. But let's get back to our self-care list. Taking a bath is definitely relaxing. I would suggest throwing some green tea bags in there, some baking soda, some Epsom salt, and just soak for 20 minutes and just make sure get it as hot as you can. Not too hot, because I mean, one time I stepped in that shit and sat down. Oh, you ever let hot water hit your butt crack? Oh, I don't feel good. But get it as warm as you can. Put some lavender drops in it and just sit and be still. Because think about it, moms. How much me time you get to yourself with kids and them grown-ass men that act like a kid? Because most dads are big kids. But when you do have that time, just sit. Soak your muscles. Relax. Relax yourself. That's when you could journal or read a book or just be still. Be quiet. Put some soothing music on. Like, I'm really obsessed with listening to Rain right now. It definitely helps. It definitely helps. Try it. Give it a try. Man, I'm telling you, baths are important. Lay down and relax, us. You deserve it. Or if you don't have time to take a bath, man, take a shower. Take a nice hot shower and just relax. Like, I know we so used to just washing our ass real quick, jumping out, being a mom. Like, listen, even if the only way you're going to ever be able to take that bath or get you a nice little long shower in is when the whole house is asleep, hey, do that. Whether it be early in the morning or late at night, wherever you have that moment to just have that time to yourself, you gotta do it. Listen to a podcast, you know. I mean, one called the Highly Melanated Podcast. Sure, I heard that one was good, you know. But no, but seriously, y'all, like, listen to podcasts. I started to do that, and it's definitely helping me with a lot of things. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'm working on 15% of battery, so I'm cutting it close right now. But I still feel like I want to keep talking to y'all. But I listen to podcasts. I listen to one called. I listen to a few podcasts. I listen to Therapy for Black Girls. I listen to, I want to say Black Girl I'm On. I want to say that's what it is. I'm probably saying it wrong. They have really good ones. I was listening to, what was the other one I was listening to? I listened to Side Hustle Pro. Sometimes, and I love it because it always highlights successful African-American women who are entrepreneurs, so I really like it. And what else do I listen to? Those are the three that I typically listen to. I listen to Small Doses with Amanda Seale from time to time. But yeah, listening to podcasts are pretty cool and relaxing. What else do I do for my self-care? I'm learning how to... I want to get into meditation to definitely calm myself down. So, I'm not there yet. I really have a hard time closing my eyes and relaxing. That's honestly the reality of it. I do not know how to be still. I don't. Like, that's why, like, naked dancing in the bathroom, like, that works for me. Because it's, like, it's energy. It's live. I'm moving around. So, I got to work on being still more. I definitely do. Because even when I'm taking a bath, like, my mind just be going. And I have to keep telling myself, like, relax. Relax yourself. Be in a moment. So we don't know how to be in a moment. Especially as moms. Because we feel like something always got to get done. You know, your mom brain is, like, always on. So you don't know how to be in a moment. But at the end of the day, it's going to get done. It's just not going to get done right now. So relax. You know? As I minister to you, I am ministering to myself. Trust and believe. Another thing I like to do is, and maybe you guys can try, I like to watch the cooking channel. Or anything that has cooking. I do. Hulu, I have so, oh my God, I got so many shows that I'm watching on Hulu with cooking. Man, I love it. Like, it's a mind orgasm for me, because then what I'll do is when it's time for me to cook, the way my mind works, like, I'll be inspired by something I watch and then I'll make it. So, I like it. It's my self-care and it helps me. Also, again, like I was telling you guys about the relaxing music, I'm so in love with listening to Rain right now. It definitely helps, because when it's time to go to bed, you know your mind still be on 1,000 and you got to learn how to turn that off, because you can't do nothing about it right now. So relax, you know, or you're probably never going to be able to do nothing about it. So relax. Let your head down. Just chill. Be in that moment. I know the music helps me with my anxiety and my thoughts. So I try to make sure I do it as much as I can. Because I cannot be in quietness. Ooh, Jesus. Whew. Silence freaks me out. I cannot do it. I'm not there yet. I'm not, but I'm working on it. I really enjoyed talking to you guys today. I feel like I gave y'all an earful to ponder about, you know. But it's all about knowing yourself, because when you know yourself, can't nobody use that against you. And I know for me, that was like one of the things, because I was so conflicted and torn in between, who am I now that I am a mother and I am learning who I am? It's like, I want to know everything about myself. I want to be honest with myself, and whether it hurts or not, you know, I'm in that space because I want to show my son what a healthy Black woman looks like. Not a perfect Black mom, but a healthy Black mom. So I'm going to continue to do the work, you know, it's important. One of the other things that I like to do, and then I'm going to wrap up with you guys. I really love watching a Missy Elliott video. She's so visually stimulating. Busta Rhymes and Janet Jackson. Like, we were watching it the other day. It was me, Ayub, and our little cousin. And, like, we was just sitting on the couch watching it. It was, like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 or 7 in the morning. And we were just watching it. Like, from video to video, like, oh my God, like, it was so cool. Just go down that, your mind, you gotta let your mind travel sometimes, man. You gotta think like a mommy all the time. And I love when I can be myself, like, this free spirited homeboy, homegirl personality. Like, I love it. That's a form of self care, because I don't always want to be in mommy mode. I love anything that makes me think on a deeper level, man. You owe it to yourself to just travel to different mental realms. Gotta learn how to think on a higher frequency level, because a lot of people we're around, they're not healthy mentally. So sometimes it could feel uncomfortable. I know for me, sometimes talking to my family, they be looking at me like, oh, here she go. And then they it's even worse now because of our youth. They feel like, you know, I'm so different. And it's like, no, this was me. This was always in me. Just being myself, man. And when you're yourself and when you're honest with yourself, can't nobody use it against you. So remember that. One day at a time, mamas. One day at a time. Even if it's going to the mall, and you just want to walk around or buy yourself something nice. Like, if you really wanted to, them jeans, buy them jeans. If you can afford it, if bills is paid and you done paid yourself, put your money up in your savings, and you got a little bit to work with, get them jeans. Get them. Get you some lingerie. Shit. Do whatever makes you happy. You have to. There's so much that you got to deal with all throughout the day. And sometimes dads, they just not going to know how to be there for you. Gotta be there for yourself. You gotta be everything to you first. Be selfish. It's okay. It is okay. Even if you fucking buy chocolate and hide it. I always got chocolate stash in my drawer. Always. Hell yeah. Sometimes I be like, F that baby and the father. For real. And I said that with love. So don't get all clenchy, Invisible Mom Committee. You need that, man. By any means necessary. And you could go to Dollar Tree, man. Dollar Tree. They got so much shit in a Dollar Tree. I made self-care packets for Christmas for my mom, my aunt, my cousins, and one of my good girlfriends. And my coworkers, I brought them wine glasses. And one of my coworkers is expecting, so I got her a cute little mug from Dollar Tree that says mugshot. I know she into little goofy, silly shit like that. And I put little green tea bags in there. Hey, there you go. Sometimes doing nice stuff for somebody, you know, could be a form of self-care. You know, being a service to others, sometimes it can be therapeutic because you want to see somebody smile. You know, it's just about finding that balance. That's all. But you got to take care of yourselves, mom. Moms, it's important that you do. It really is. Because, again, you got to be everything to you. Have to. You really have to. I seen this, my cousin posted this quote, right? And it says, 2020 is very personal. I owe myself a lot. And I seen that and I just was like, oh, it's a word. You do owe yourself a lot. Make it about you. Make it about you, man. Make it about you. Have to. because shit don't get done without us, ladies, and y'all know it. So I want you to write this down. I'm going to tell y'all what it is again. 2020 is very personal. I owe myself a lot. 2020 is very personal. I owe myself a lot. I thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Motherhood on the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. I am your host, Natasha Monique. Thank you guys for tuning in. Y'all be breezy. Peace. We'll be right back.